Now let's get right down here to this verse again, verse 17. I read it to pass on. Now then, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And our translation reads, so now it's no longer I, the new nature, who am working it out, but sin, the old nature, living in me. Now we are in this section where we are going into a spiritual clinic, where the Holy Spirit of God puts the X-ray down on your and my old nature, and the new nature, by the way, and reveals to us, through the experience of the Apostle Paul, just what is happening on the inside of us, and what might be our difficulty, and how to make the adjustment, how to get the cure and the medicine to take. Now, this is all important. I just can't conceive of any section of the Word of God that's quite as important today to the Christian as this, especially to the defeated Christian. You see, Paul is taking his own experience at first, for he was a defeated Christian. He ends this chapter by just crying out, Caiaphro. He throws in the towel. He really calls for help. He's defeated. And this is the pathway that many of us are on today. Many of us are in different stages of defeat, just like this card, and I have several letters here from folk, and I didn't read them because they're very personal. One I know says, you're talking right to me. This is my experience, and there's no use me putting up a false front any longer. I'm a defeated Christian. Well, then, if you got sick, you'd go to a doctor, wouldn't you? You wouldn't just keep right on and not go to a doctor. You'd want to go. My gracious alive, I think I was sort of overdoing things, probably taking on too much, and I got a little disturbed. And I thought I might be even having heart trouble, and I went to the clinic and went through and had a doctor take my... just go right through and have him take the whole business. And he did, and you want to know that. I was happy for the report. But if there'd been anything wrong, I want to say this to you. I sure would wanted to have known it. And I'm sure you are that way. You want to know if the, believe me today, somebody says, you know, I've got a pain here. You suppose it's cancer. And they go immediately to the doctor. Now, isn't it infinitely, actually, more important if we're defeated in our Christian life and we're not living as we should? Isn't it just, doesn't it just make good sanctified common sense to say, let's cut out all this talking and being zealous for some little doctrine? A couple of these cards today, they honestly don't disturb me. A great many folk now write in to comfort me about it. Don't do that. It's not necessary. They don't disturb me one bit. They amuse me. I feel sorry for somebody that gets so wrought up over a thing like this and says that they've reached a plane when this poor preacher just tips them over, you see, and they lose their temper and don't feel very good about it at all. And may I say to you that we need to face up today. We need to be very frank and very honest and let God put the X-ray of His Word now down over us. And when He does, we'll find, if we're Christians, we have two natures. That old nature... It is utterly corrupt, no good in it. As a preacher said at a conference, he came from England, he called it a stinking corpse. And that's a good name for it. When we get through with this chapter, you'll find out that's just exactly what Paul calls it. And I was waiting to get there to label it myself. It's an awful, ugly, terrible thing. And as we're going to see in a moment, there's no good in it at all. There's no use saying that there is. Now, we have a new nature, and that new nature, renewed unto God, loves the things of God, and as we saw, it won't commit sin. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That new nature won't. Now, that immediately sets up inside a believer a conflict, you see. That's the reason that there's so many disturbed today. And it's only been in recent years that the psychologist has talked to us about schizophrenia, a split personality. That's a form of abnormality today with some folk. And actually, I'm told that Robert Louis Stevenson, when he wrote Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, had in mind a Christian, for he was a Christian, and he had in mind that here are two natures. Here's a man, he's a doctor, Dr. Jekyll, fine, a good doctor. But he became, through taking this chemical, a Mr. Hyde. Well, my brother, you don't have to take a chemical. You've already got him there, and he's just ready to express himself. And you know that he is. There he is in your life, that old nature. And that old nature is just as bad as God says it is. There's no good in it whatsoever at all. And the believer is indwelt by sin just as he's indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now, Paul saw, and that's the thing that we must, if we're ever to get to the place where we get deliverance, he saw that his real self, that new nature now, wanted no part in sin. Now, a Christian may commit sin, but I want to say this, he'll hate it, and he'll never be satisfied till he gets away from it. He'll repudiate himself because of sin in his life. He must do that if he's a child of God, because he has that nature. Now, let me move on here to this next verse. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, friends, will you stay with me? We've come now to what I believe is one of the most important verses that we've had so far. I know it's the most important since we left off on salvation. Now, up to the time we're saved, our great truth is in the third chapter and the fourth and fifth of Romans. But after you're saved, the sixth, seventh, and eighth of Romans are all important. Now will you notice what he's saying here? I want to give our translation that we have. For I know that there does not dwell in me, that is, in my flesh, a good thing, for the willing is present with me, but the working out what is right is not. Now, I want you to notice this, because this is very, very important. Paul says, I know that in me, now he includes there his total personality, all that he is, his body, his mind, and his spirit. I know that in me. And then he says that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, that's not just the meat on the bones, but that's that old nature that we saw. Now, Paul learned by sad experience that there was no good in him. Now, I want you to see this for a moment, for this is very important to see. When he was a proud young Pharisee, he could boast that he had many things in which to glory. Listen to him as he wrote to the Philippians. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now, Paul then mentions here seven things that made him superior to the average man, and would put him way above any man today. You'd find that here was a man that was superior to any of his fellows. He just stood head and shoulders. If you went into the Roman world, you wouldn't find a Roman that could top him. If you went in among the Greek philosophers, rulers of his people, there was none that was even in the same class with him. And yet here is a man that can say, if any man thinks he has whereof to boast, I yet more. I have more to boast of. Just think of that for a moment. This is the man that now says, will you listen to him? He's now saying, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, Paul had in the flesh more to boast about than you and I have. He's way out ahead of us, way down ahead of us, friends. He's so far beyond us that isn't even funny. Actually, I think Paul, as a Pharisee, would excel the average church member in morality and in all these things that men boast of today. And now Paul says that I had all this to boast of in the flesh, and I had more than any other man. Now he says that there's nothing, there's no good in my flesh at all. May I say that that was without doubt the most transforming, the most revolutionary experience any man ever had. Now today, there are multitudes of people. They go to church, and like this man writing this card, thinks he keeps the Ten Commandments, and think that they're pleasing God. They're members of churches. Now, I don't want to be unkind or unlovely, but may I say to you that all of this churchianity today and the observing of religious services is of the flesh, and that is a stench in the nostrils of God. He hates it. He despises it. He has no use for it at all. And you'd be surprised today in our fundamental circles how much of so-called spirituality is nothing in the world but the works of the flesh. You know, the flesh will crop out in the most unusual places. The flesh will do anything if you just let it live. It will be pious. It'll be religious. It will talk about how wonderful it is. Now, let's understand one thing. There's no respect of persons with God, and that there's no good in any of us. Friends, you and I need to have a little pin pushed into our balloon of our ego, of our feeling that somehow or another there's some good in us. There's no good in us at all. Now, Paul goes on to say something else here. He says, I can will, but I cannot do. The willing is present with me, but the working out what is right, it's not there. Has that been your experience, my friend? And that is the picture of the flesh. The flesh is always wanting to do, but it has no power to do. And all of this appeal today, and I want to be very kind again. I feel very good today, by the way. And all this appeal today to live the surrendered life. Oh, surrender your life without giving all of this teaching. May I say that Paul does not even mention surrendering your life for service till you get to the 12th of Romans. You've got to know a lot of things before you get to that. And after all, can the flesh surrender? Oh, it's willing. But how to perform it, I find not. Am I talking today to some discouraged Christian? You've been down to the altar again and again and again, and you do have to confess today nothing's happened. The will is present with you, but how to perform it, you don't know. Is that right? Of course it's right. Multitudes are like that today. They just don't know how. Oh, my friend, may I say that there's no good in your old nature. And the will is present with you, and there's no power even in your new nature. You no power whatsoever. You're going to have help from the outside. And you must take these steps that are here in the epistle to the Romans. There's no other way. We're going through a clinic, a spiritual clinic here. And the Holy Spirit's put an X-ray down on your heart and my heart. And he's going to advise the treatment and the remedy. Now, after he gets in his full report, he's going to tell us what we're to do. We're going to get to that shortly, by the way. Stay with us. How much today, actually, in our Christian circles, is nothing in the world but an appeal to the flesh. All of this business today of telling people the very first thing that we do, tell them to surrender to Jesus. Tell them that they are to yield. And somebody says, well, isn't that all accurate and true and biblical? Yes, but the biblical thing is that they need to know that will is present with them, but how to perform it is not. That's not with you. And that's the important thing. As a roommate of mine said to me in college, we had one of these religious emphasis weeks. And believe me, it was not much emphasis, not much religion. In fact, it was just religion and no Christianity. And I never shall forget, my roommate came over one night after one of the services, and he sat down very dejectedly on the side of his bed, and he said, you know, I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. I need somebody to tell me how I can do it. I know what to do, he says, but I don't know how to do it. And today the injunction is telling people what to do, what to do. That's the emphasis, and it's an appeal to the flesh, and the flesh, rather, likes it because the will is present with me. I want to do the right thing. But the willing, or the doing of it, that's not with us today. That is not there at all. And when it is said to a person today to surrender to Christ, how much does that person know that he's a lost, guilty sinner, and that that's the state of all men, and that there is no ability to recover righteousness, that he can't make himself right with God? And it was at that time that the Lord Jesus Christ became the mercy seat through faith in his blood. And that's our hope. And then we're identified with Christ. As we were connected with Adam, we're now connected with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And that we are commanded today to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And that we're not under law today, but we're under grace today. And the law was given to control the old nature, but under grace today with a new nature. We have a different modus operandi by which we're to live. How much does that average person know about these things when he's told to surrender to Jesus? And it's interesting, Paul never mentioned anybody about this matter of service until you come to the 12th chapter of Romans. It's not until then that he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, there's some ground to be covered beforehand. There's a foundation to be put down. And all this appeal today is nothing in the world but an appeal to the flesh, if you please. And to will is present with me. But how to perform it, I find not. And that's the experience of multitudes, my beloved. And if you could see some of the letters that are coming in here, people crying out to God. They said, you're just touching my life in its vital spot. It seems like you're just talking about me. Well, I'm not. The point is, the Word of God here is talking about all of us, and there's no use anybody running for cover and saying, well, this doesn't apply to me, my brother, my sister. This is for you, and it's for me. There's no use any of us trying to duck out or try to run away and trying to say something that will cover up and put up an iron curtain between us and reality. And then another letter, this party says, I went down and told my pastor last Sunday that I'm tired of playing at church. I'm now dealing with reality. My, it'd be wonderful if many of us would stop playing church and this Lord's Day weekend and start, instead of like a bunch of kids playing church, that we'd deal with reality and that these things would become real to us and have to do with all this piousity that appeals to the flesh and puffs us up. Ask us to do something when we know down deep underneath we cannot do it. The will is present with me, but how to perform it, I find not. Is that your experience? Well, this man Paul the Apostle, Paul the Apostle found out that he couldn't in his own strength. It's Dr. Newell put it like this, I can will, but cannot do. I can will many things. And it's just wishful thinking today when we say and go forward in a meeting and say, well, I'm going to promise to do better. Well, brother, you've done that, haven't you? And you didn't do better, did you? In fact, you did a little worse if you had the experience of most of us. May I say, we can't even do the good that we wish. The goodness of which religions boast today is merely wishful thinking. May I say to you today, all of this is an attempt to just cover up this old putrefying old nature that we got. What we need to do is to, instead of trying to cover up the old corpse, what we need to do is to look at it under the x-ray that God has given here in His Word. And these appeals are made today to the will of man. Why, of course he can will. The trouble of it is he can't do it. And we need to have a modus operandi. We need to have a performance, not a rehearsal. We've had so many rehearsals of saying, yes, we're going to do better. Now, may I say to you, this is the way that God is putting it down before us here. And again, as we leave this verse, let me put it to you. For I know that in me, that there does not dwell in me, that is in my flesh, a good thing. For the willing is present with me, but the working out what is right is not with me. And as long as we go forth in the flesh, it'll produce nothing but that which is atrocious. And there's no use, friends, to cover up today and say, I've got the old nature under control. You haven't. You know you haven't got that old nature under control. It's got you. And you know that you have not got it at all. That's like the fella that was holding on to a bull's tail flying through the pasture. And this country yokel yelled to his dad on the sidelines. He said, Dad, I got him. Yes, he had. And so did the bull have him, too. And that's the way a great many of us today have got control of the flesh. Yes, we got a hold of him, but he's taken us right where he wants to take us. And when we say that we walk in the light as he is in the light, we do have fellowship one with another, but if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's what John says in 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, now don't you come along today and say that you have no sin, that you don't have that old, putrefying old nature. Now that's the thing that explains today, I think, the action and attitude of a great many so-called or professing Christians, and we have to give them the benefit of the doubt that they are Christians. They have all the vocabulary, and they talk about the wonderful name of Jesus and all that sort of thing, we just have to accept what they say. Certainly, the thing that's being produced is in the flesh. We've all got that old nature, my beloved, and we yield to that walk in that. And that old nature is always present with us. And that old nature will always assert itself unless we come God's way, which we're going to see when we get to the 8th chapter. God will show us His way to victory, His way to deliverance, His way to a glorious experience. Now in verse 19, and I must get to verse 19 today, And this, again, is the explanation of all of this. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, I think this verse is perfectly clear in our translation. But I want to lift out of it some of the literal. Let me give you the literal language here, and you watch your translation. For not what I am wishing, even good, am I practicing. But what I am not wishing, the evil, this I am doing. Now, he is saying here that this is Paul now, remember, in this particular stage of his Christian experience. Paul is saying here that the good that I would, that is the new nature, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that's the new nature, then that I do. The most wonderful saint that ever lived has that old nature. In fact, the most wonderful saint, I think, that ever lived is the one who is saying it here. That's Paul the Apostle. Listen to him, friends. He says, the good that I would, I do not. Again, this is very practical. We're putting the X-ray right down on your heart and my heart today. Isn't that true of you? Look in the X-ray. Do you have the nerve enough to look in it? The good that I would, I don't do it. Is that your experience? You look back over the week now. What do you have to say? Have you been able this week to do the good that you would? Or actually, do you look back on this week and say, well, I didn't do what I should have done? Is that your experience? And then do you have to say the evil, which I would not, I've done it. I've done the thing I didn't want to do at all. Is that your experience? Well, may I say to you, that's the experience of many defeated Christians today, and they're miserable. Oh, how miserable they are. And what's the difficulty? First of all, the difficulty is they will not face up to reality. They will not look at their own hearts and lives and accept God's estimation of themselves. If you and I are willing to take off all of this religious subterfuge today and all of the hypocrisy that's in our circles today, I think today that a man that has the reputation of being, I think, probably a rascal of all rascals. Somebody said to me, said, well, you know, that brother walks around on Sunday like he's the most pious saint that you've ever seen. He says, you know, I watch him on Sunday. And said, Ma, I tell you, he looks like he had his halo shined up when he got his shoes shined. And he just looks like, his face is beatific. He looks like an angel out of glory. And yet, and what's the problem? Well, he's covering up. He won't face up to reality. Got an old nature that during the week has done things. Caused strife, circulated false reports, a liar of the liars, a man that would probably stoop to do most anything, and yet will cover up. Oh, if he'd only go to God and just lay that matter before him and say, oh, God, this is what I've done. I repudiate it. I hate it. And I hate myself. I feel toward myself just like you feel. May I say that the minute you and I'll do that, the great physician is standing there, and he's got the remedy for us, and he'll deliver us. But when you and I going around and saying, it doesn't hurt, we're not sick, everything's all right, put the medicine up, don't call the doctor, then nothing can be done. But the minute you and I send out the SOS and say, oh, Lord, I'm sick, nigh unto death, come quickly and save me, he's there. He'll come. He's got all the remedies. He's got his kit filled with all that's needed for you and for me. Let's call for him. There's something now that we need to nail down, friends, and we need to nail it down good and proper. And that is that Paul says, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh. And when he said in my flesh, he meant that old nature with all that implies. It means a body, it means the mind, it meant the will, all of that which was perverted and diverted from God and turned away from God and in rebellion against God, that which could do nothing but sin. And he says, I know that no good, that in me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Nothing good there. Nothing but evil there. And then he's finding out in this section here that there is no power in the new nature. The will is present with me. That new nature wills, wants to do the right thing. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Old nature is just on its own, and it asserts itself and takes over. And poor Paul found out that the new nature couldn't stand up against it. Now, somebody raises the question, why couldn't it? I'll be talking about this when we get to chapter 8, but you see, in these bodies of ours today, the old nature has so used them that it has set up certain cortical connections up here in the brain. And these neurons and axons of our nervous system that, for instance, there is goes in a thought, or and it's generally an evil thought, the sinful thing, and it makes a connection, a cortical connection up in our brain. Then it goes down what is known as motor neurons. Those motor neurons, axons and dendrites, they can have synaptical connections, and it starts up. That's the reason your hand does something, and that's the reason your mouth starts talking. You know, somebody said that talking about a certain person, says, you know, said their mind can start their tongue to wagging and then go right off and leave it. And that's exactly what happens. And what is it that causes us to say things? It's not that piece of meat, the boneless tongue inside of our mouth that's causing the trouble, but although it's the little fella that does the dirty work, but it's back up beyond it, up in the mind and in our hearts. There comes that evil thing, that suggestive thing, that gossip, that insinuation, that awful thing that we ought not to say, but we do say it, you know. Well, you see, the old nature's had possession of these bodies so long that what the psychologist tells us are habits that are formed. And those habits mean, that's a way, for instance, you and I learn to swim. It has its good side, too. You go down, or maybe you went down as a young person, and you learned to swim. Maybe you took lessons, or maybe you did like I did, slipped off, went in the tank. I did in southern Oklahoma, almost drowned with a bunch of boys, but we learned to swim. And you know, you what happens is you just keep kicking your hands and your feet, and it keeps setting up certain connections. These motor neurons keep causing the hands to thrash out and the feet till finally you learn to swim. And that becomes a habit. And so much of a habit that you can leave off swimming for 20, 30 years and you find yourself in water and automatically you start swimming. Well, why do you start swimming? Well, the explanation is, well, I learned when I was a boy. Well, didn't you forget it? No, you never forget it, because you see, that's set up. Certain responses, certain habits, as they're called, and you just drop right into it. If you ever rode a bicycle, you can always ride a bicycle. It took you a little while to learn, but after you once learn, why, you've got it, because it's set up certain things through your brain, down through the motor neurons, and you're just able to do it. Now, you see, that old nature's had control of these bodies of ours so long that the new nature, when it comes in, and he moves in later, He finds that there's not much room, you see. And that's the reason that Paul had to say, the will is present with me. That new nature says, now look here, boy, you're going to do differently than you've been doing. I want you to be a better man than you've been before. And you want the things of God. It's the old nature that's had control of these bodies, and the old nature has no notion of giving it up and turning it over to anybody. So when the new nature comes in, he finally has to just cry out for help because he has no power. Now, when you and I learn that, we are ready to graduate from the first grade. We are ready to move up in the Christian life. And don't mind just being in the first grade and graduating, because there's some saints today that have been saints for 50 years that are not out of the first grade. In fact, friends, they're still in kindergarten as far as Christian living is concerned. They're still trying to live by the law. That's kindergarten stuff. And there are others today that they call themselves separated Christians. In fact, if you talk to them a little, they're going to let you know that they think they're spiritual, but they're not. All they have done is they have got the old nature, they've got him in a barrel, and they put the top on the barrel, and they sat down on the barrel, and they think they got control of that old nature, you see, because they now say, I don't do this, I don't do that, I'm sitting on top of the top on the barrel, and I got the old nature under control. Well, the old nature's moved out some other way. You remember, there's a bunghole in that barrel, and the old nature's come out that bunghole and has made them proud. Have you ever noticed how proud these separated Christians are? And they don't realize, apparently, that pride is just about as big a sin as any of these others. It's like the fellow that said, you know, I haven't committed a sin in 3 years. And his friend said to him, says, well, I imagine you're pretty proud of that. And he says, well, I certainly am. You see, today there are a great many people that think because they have done certain things and they call themselves separated Christians that they really are spiritually minded, when they're really not at all. They have set up certain little habits, certain little things, and the flesh may not be manifesting itself in gross immorality, but it's gone out in another direction. Because, my friend, you can't control the flesh. There's no good in you, and there's no power in the new nature. Now, if you and I are willing to accept that and believe that, then we're in a position for God to help us, you see. A surgeon won't operate on you until he gives you, it used to be ether, now they give them something else. I don't know what the last thing is that they're giving to them now, but whatever it is, it knocks you out. You are no longer active, you see. And you've got to get in that state or he won't operate. If you think that you're going to sit up there and tell the doctor, cut here and don't cut here and you're hurting here and that sort of thing, you are wrong. I do not know of a surgeon that will let you direct the operation. I did hear of a surgeon who was operated on, and he directed the doctors that operated on him. He told them what to do. He was deadened from the waist down, I guess, and he told them what to do. Well, that's an unusual one. I'm sure you wouldn't want to do that. And I'm sure that the average doctor today would not operate on that kind of a basis. Now, when you and I are willing to get on the operating table and tell the Lord that, well, there's no good in me, it's all bad, I want this old cancer here, I want you to operate on it, and I have no power, I can't do it myself, then the great physician, if you're willing to be knocked out now, and be laid aside, and be no longer you anymore. It's no longer I, Paul said, but Christ living in me. That's what he says in Galatians. That's what he means. I'm crucified with Christ. When were you crucified with Christ? You mean you think you're living a crucified life today? Well, if you think you are, brother, you're just about as deceived as any one person can be. You're not living a crucified life. If you were crucified with Christ, it took place 1900 years ago when he died. That's when he was crucified. And if you're going to be crucified with him, you've got to be crucified when he was crucified. And 1900 years ago, that was the message in the 6th of Romans, you will recall. Buried with him, raised with him, and you died with him. Now you identified with him. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Well, how do you, nevertheless you live? If you got crucified, how do you live, Paul? Well, when he was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead. Nevertheless I live, yet not I. Now will you notice? Yet not I. Oh, Paul had learned, it's not I. Lie down, I. I noticed there's a restaurant listed up in San Francisco. I saw the little advertisement of it in a hotel where I was staying. It's the craziest name I've ever heard of, the Hungry Eye. And I thought, that's putting it on the line. That's really saying what the old nature is. It's hungry. It wants to assert itself. Now, old Hungry Eye, lie down. It's not I, but Christ liveth in me, the life I now live in the flesh. You see, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's never I, never I, never. The Christian life is never I, my beloved. Now, these are two great facts we got to lay hold of if we're going to progress in the Christian life. No good in me. In my old flesh, old nature, there's no good there. Now, don't go around and look for it, because it's not there at all. And then there is no power in that new nature. The will is present with me. Now, that new nature wants to do God's will. Now, that's the great evidence that you're a child of God, is that that new nature has that hunger and longing for the things of God. I know as a boy, when I went down to an altar in southern Oklahoma, and we were ignorant folk down there in those days, and we didn't know very much. Nobody was there to help me, and I never did find out very much. It wasn't until years later, and I'm not sure that I was ever saved till years later, that I found out about the fact that there's no good there. I was always trying to do something, always attempting it, and never succeeding, always failing. My friend today, is that your experience today? I'm confident God doesn't want us to go on in this miserable way that we're living today, and He wants us to produce something that will be worthwhile. Now, will you listen to Paul? For the good, verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. The struggle's going on in earnest now. This is about the 10th round, if you please. Going to be a knockout here in a minute, I think. It's about 10th round. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, I think that the translation that we have here is perfectly clear, but let me give you here another translation, our translation again, that may just put another little shaft of light on this whole statement here and the entire problem. For not what I'm wishing, even good, am I practicing, but what I am not wishing, the evil, this I'm doing. Now, this, you see, is a picture of an abnormal or a subnormal Christian. This doesn't describe Paul's later life as a missionary, when he was able to write later on and say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And when he could say later on, I have finished my course. But this is the man that said that I keep under my body, and I today, he says, I'm not, the Christian life is not something that I'm shadowboxing in. This is real to me, the Christian life is, and it's a real battle and a real fight that's going on. And Paul could say, I don't want to be disapproved. I want to be accepted of him. You see, that new nature crying out to God for deliverance, while the old nature was still wanting to control and go on in its rebellion against God. Now, this is abnormal, you see, and it's subnormal. Most of what is called Christian experience today, friends, is not Christian experience at all. It's that which is abnormal or subnormal. And this old nature, you see, has the new nature in retreat. And when that takes place, there's defeat. Now, there's no joy in a Christian's life when he's experiencing this sort of thing. Paul tells us that right after his conversion, and I think this was his experience right after his conversion, he tells us, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. That's in Acts 9:9. And there was apparently that conflict going on in the two natures of this great apostle. And every believer today, I'm confident, must bow his head in shame and disgust as he sees here a picture of himself in the past. It's tragic indeed, my beloved, if this is the picture of you today. And if it is, may I say, there's good news for you. There's deliverance for you. Oh, does this have to be said of you today? Can you today transpose yourself in the shoes of the Apostle Paul and say today, this is my experience, for not what I'm wishing, even good, am I practicing, but what I'm not wishing, the evil, this I'm doing. Is that what you have to say today? Well, down in your in the depths of your heart today, you just have to face up and say, I'm sorry. This conflict going on within me, I'm falling so far short. I have a nature that does love God, and I want God. And I want to say to you today that if you have that longing and desire, you're God's child, but you're certainly not in the place that he wants you, and you're not practicing what he wants you to. And there's the good news for you. There's deliverance, but you've got to come God's way. This is not a hit-and-miss proposition. The Christian life is not something that you come upon accidentally. It's not like lightning. It may hit you. It may not hit you. You have to fulfill certain conditions. In fact, they know today that even lightning doesn't hit spasmodically or haphazardly, but it follows a very definite pattern, and it follows and obeys certain laws and regulations. Well, the Christian life is not a haphazard thing. There are certain conditions that must be met, but God does have a way for you. Let's follow this man, Paul, through this, and he'll lead us to victory. We're in a very important section, and it's well for us to know, because Paul's going to say it again and again, that we must know and understand and recognize and consent to the fact we have this old nature. You know, the average Christian today won't admit it. You know that. The average Christian, Paul, will give you 1,000 excuses for any faults that they have. And none of the faults are the old nature. It's always somebody else. They never will accept responsibility that this is, I've got an old nature and that I'm really to blame for my situation. All right, now notice verse 20. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, again, let us notice this here. We have a struggle going on, and it's a real titanic struggle. And over in this corner of the ring, we have the old nature. Boy, look at his muscles. And he certainly can flex them. There he is, proud as he can be. And there's the old, there in the other corner, ladies and gentlemen, is the new nature. And it looks like a little old whipped dog, doesn't he? And that's what he is, because he thought that he could whip this big old bully, and he challenged him. What a foolish thing it was to do. But he challenged the big bully, Now, will you notice? Now, if I do, that old nature, boy, that old nature's a doer, don't you forget it. He's out busy. For now, if I do that, I would not. The new nature. The old nature does it, the old nature would not do it. It's no more I that do it. It's not the new nature, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, let's nail that down, and I want to give you our translation first. Now, if what I am practicing is not what I'm willing, no longer is it I working it out, but sin which dwelleth in me. Now, Paul is showing us who the villain is. This villain has forced himself into Paul's house and holds him captive. And this alien is sin. And he got in because the old nature left the door open, didn't lock the door. And this alien is sin, and he's come in and taken over the house. And Paul sees that his new nature's not involved or implicated in sin. Now, this is not an excuse that he's offering, for his old nature is responsible and does respond to sin. Now, you and I have noticed in the paper where one of these perverts, one of these fellas that some old sister parole board let out of prison. A bunch of sob sisters today do not think criminals should be punished and that the death penalty should be revoked and all that sort of thing. We have with us in our society today a bunch of sob sisters who have no conception of the morality of Scripture, nor do they understand at all that which is basic in America. You see, what is Americanism today is actually a Bible morality. And the reason that they are so dissatisfied with a great many things today that are on our statute books is because they were put there by men and women who had, although they were not all Christian, it's true, but they did have a Bible sense of morality and what was right and what was wrong. So that we have today a great many of these sob sisters that turn these criminals loose, and they are abroad. And every now and then, one of them will, if he's escaping from something or trying to get away or worms his way into a family, all of a sudden he whips out a gun and he holds that family at bay. And that's happened now several times. This fella comes in as a guest, and is very nice and humble for a while, willing to do chores, and then one day he whips out a gun and takes over, and he kills the family off that are there. And then we have other instances of where some thief is trying to get away, and he goes into a house and holds the officers off at bay because he's holding the family in there. Now, here is the picture. Here's a man. He has a nice, lovely family, and he owns his home. At least he's paying for it. He occupies it. He's the boss there, and he has his own castle, and he's the master in his own castle, and it's his. Then one day, one of these rough, crude criminals comes in with a gun, pushes him in the corner. And now he takes over, and he begins to rule, and he begins to tell about how things are to be done in the house. And the man's no longer master. Well, that's an awful thing, you say. But wait just a minute. Hasn't that happened to you? Isn't it true that you got an old nature that's come in, and that old nature's got the gun today and pushed the new nature in the corner, and the old nature's talked, has taken over? Is that your picture today, or isn't it your picture? Now, Paul is saying here that that's his plight. That is his peril as a believer. He says, now, if what I am practicing is not what I am willing, no longer is it I working it out, but sin which dwelleth in me. he moved in with me, and he took over, sin did. Took out a gun. And now what's happening inside of me is, I know I'm not the one. It's sin in there. I don't want to do those things. I repudiate those things. Now, Paul here is giving us, you see, that picture of that villain, that criminal, and that's what that old nature is. Just as there's not a criminal today that's any worse than that old nature that you've got. Now, accept that, will you, from the Word of God. After all, what is that criminal? But one that's living in the strength and power of that old nature. It's just that old nature manifesting itself. And you and I have got the same nature. It was Goethe, that great German, who wrote years ago, he says that I never heard of a crime being committed, but what I too was capable of committing that crime. You and I have that old nature. We are capable of doing it. And the only reason that you and I are not that criminal today is not really because that we are Christians. Actually, the reason is because many people are not criminals like that who are not Christian at all. The reason is the common grace of God. Why, if you'd had the background that that criminal had, you'd be the same kind of person he is, because you've got the same kind of nature that he's got. And what society sees today in these criminals is really a mirror in which they're looking at themselves. That's one of the reasons the sob sisters don't want to put them to death, because it sort of hurts. I'm of the opinion that a great many of these boys, when they see one of these fellas being put to death for a crime, down deep in his heart, he's saying, "Well, say, you know, I'm pretty guilty myself, and I don't want to be putting somebody to death because I may be the next fella that will go into the gas chamber because I've got that same kind of nature." Well, you have. You and I have that old nature today. Now, we need to recognize that. We need to be able to say with Paul, it's no more I. It's no longer is it I working it out, but sin which dwelleth in me. Now, that is something that I believe that every child of God today ought to be able to see and recognize and classify it and just be able to look this thing straight in the face. Now, until we're willing to do that, friends, we'll make no progress in the Christian life at all. We're just not going to get anywhere at all. Now, Paul goes on in verse 21, and he says, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Now, he's really putting it out